the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Can we get one normal game, please? Please. Just one. Brewers fall 1-0. Controversy in the ninth inning. I'm Dominic Catronio. Just want a normal day. Let me just say this at the very top, and then we're going to jump into the rule and everything that went down in that ninth inning. You cannot expect to win a game when you only have three hits and you go 0-for-6. You can, with runners in scoring position. Go 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position, and you only have three hits in the game. So when a mistake, maybe, happened with the judgment call with an umpire, and you're going, oh my God, we're out of a chance. No, you went 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. You twice left a leadoff double stranded. That's why you lost the game, not because of an umpire's call. So I want to say that right off the top here. Ryan Pepiot, tip your cap. He pitched great today, but the Brewers could not get one across against him. It's not because of an umpire's call. Sure, you had an opportunity there, but it's not because of an umpire's call. With that being said, let's talk about what happened in the ninth inning. Setting the scene. Runners on second and third with one out, and Jake Bowers at the plate. He's got a 1-2 count. He swings and misses at a pitch in the dirt. His follow-through clips the top of Rene Pinto's catcher's mask on the back of the helmet. But the ball was already rolling back to the backstop. Sal Frelick from third was breaking for home, thinking he's scoring the game-tying run on a wild pitch. But in the meanwhile, home plate umpire Ryan Addington is calling time. Batters out, runners back to their positions. And everyone's confused for a moment. And watching the replay, he's signaling backswing. Jake Bowers on the backswing, clipping the catcher, Rene Pinto. Pat Murphy comes out to argue. The argument lasts a while. And ultimately, Pat Murphy is ejected for the first time as Brewers manager. Let me go ahead and get to the rule. I tweeted this at Dom_Catronio. This is Rule 6.03, batter illegal action. This is off of a comment. It is comment A3 and 4. If the batter interferes with the catcher, the plate umpire shall call interference. The batter is out and the ball is dead. No player may advance on such interference, offensive interference that is, and all runners must return to the last base that was, in the judgment of the umpire, legally touched at the time of the interference. Now, you may be thinking, Dom, that says nothing about a backswing. That just says batter interference. That could be, you know, the catcher's blocking a ball out in front, and the guy trips over the plate, and they collide with each other. Maybe the guys are trying to advance. That's where that could come into play. Now the rule continues. If, however, the catcher makes a play and the runner attempting to advance is put out, it is assumed to be there was no actual interference and the runner is out, not the batter. So that does not apply here. Let me scroll a little further down now. The final graph of this comment, again, Rule 6.03, comment 3 and 4. If a batter strikes at a ball and misses and swings so hard, he carries the bat all the way around and in the umpire's judgment, unintentionally hits the catcher or the ball in the back of him on the backswing, it shall be called a strike only, not interference. The ball will be dead, however, and no runner shall advance on the play. Two things I want to break down from that last graph, then I want to answer some questions and get to some callers. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Once again, just like we talked about briefly yesterday with the Aaron Judge play, it is a judgment call. Judgment calls are the way for the rule book to sort of be a catch-all, to have the umpire have the authority to say, this was a judgment call, we cannot review it. Furthermore, when it comes to the unintentionally hits the catcher or the ball in the back of him on the backswing, it shall be called a strike only. So let's say that's exactly what happened. It's called a strike only. It was strike three on Bowers. The ball will be dead, and no runner shall advance on the play. If this was a 1-1 count, and he swings and misses and all that happens, same thing applies. It'd be a 1-2 count. The runners stay at second and third. But again, it is an umpire's judgment call. I know the beat reporters have requested another pool report tonight from the umpires. I don't want to have to thumb through my rule book every day because we have the last 2 days. But in my judgment, I see why they called it. At the same time, as a Brewer fan, you're sitting there like, are you kidding me? You're calling it in that spot? And again, I will repeat what I said at the top of the show. You're grasping at straws if you go 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position, only manage 3 hits, and twice leave a leadoff double stranded. That's my opinion. That's why the Brewers lost the game, not because of a judgment call in the bottom of the 9th inning when you're begging. That's how I feel about it. And what do you feel about it? 855-616-1620. This one from Alex in Tulsa. When Contreras leaned forward earlier in the year after a strikeout, he was called for catcher interference. But when the Rays try to stop a ball, it's batter's interference. Here's the difference of those two. If you clip a catcher on the downswing, it's catcher's interference. But if you catch him on the follow-through and the ball is live, it's batter's interference. If Rene Pinto had caught the ball, nothing happens. Nothing happens. He clips him on the helmet. Oh, no. You okay, man? You good? Good. Think about how many times we see a batter follow through and clip the catcher. We saw it earlier in the game when William got clipped on a foul ball on a long backswing by Harold Ramirez, but nobody was on base. Nothing mattered. It's because the ball was live. If Pinto had secured the baseball and he gets clipped, nothing happens. But because the ball was live and he was interfered with in the view of the umpires, that's why the call was made. So that's why there's a difference between catcher's interference on the downswing, clipping the glove, and batter's interference on the backswing, catching him while the ball is live. Get to the phone lines here. Brian in Tulsa, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Dom, I was at the game. I totally agree with you. It shouldn't have come down to that. We are just not hitting with runners in scoring position. I mean, you look at Saturday, we basically got one run off because the two other runs are off Trevino, a position player. Yesterday, other than one big inning, I know it was a blowout, but I think we were terrible with runners in scoring position in that game also. We're missing Yelich, and we got to find it. We got a left-hander going against us tomorrow, which is, I always say is kryptonite for us. So if we don't find our bats, this is going to be a losing homestand. And I'm not pushing the panic button yet, but we got to get something going offensively because you're not going to win with 3 hits. We didn't get a walk-off hit the starter, and, I mean, he was lights out again. Tip your hat to him, but we gotta do something because we're just not getting people on in regular, and when we do, we're not scoring them.
I agree entirely, Brian. No notes from me. Like I said, you can't go 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. They were, 3-for-15 the other day? You're just not going to win games doing that. And they were winning games doing that early in the year by bludgeoning teams with runners in scoring position. They are certainly missing Christian Yelich. A lot of the young kids are going through growing pains. Blake Perkins has cooled off. Oliver Dunn has cooled off. Joey Ortiz had a nice game today. William Contreras can't do it alone. Sal Frelick arrived late, but Reese has been up and down. We knew that was coming. I don't think Jake Bowers being the cleanup hitter was certainly in the models for the Brewers this season. Stick to the phone lines here, 855-616-1620. Jerry from Bayview, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Well, hey, Dom, how are you?
I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm good. I'm a little disappointed in the Brewers. After that exciting win on Friday, I think, mm-hmm. That was such a game. That was incredible. And then to get clobbered with 15 runs a couple times by the Yankees. So my question is, what can Murph do or somebody do? It's a hapless offense, and they're not going anywhere, not getting runs. And, that's my question.
Yeah, I agree. I think right now, You let it play because it is still only April. We know Churio is going to go through a stretch like this, and he is going through it right now, to say the least. But Oliver Dunn, after having a really good first couple of weeks, has really subsided. And then, I've seen it on my Twitter mentions. Why not a personnel change? Why not bring up a Tyler Black for his big league debut? Why not bring Andrew Monasterio back up here? I would lean more to Black more than Andrew just because you can get another left-handed bat in there. They have been trying to get Tyler Black as many reps at first base as possible. Maybe they could feel he could play third base in the big leagues, even though there were still some questions about his third base defense last season in AA. They're trying to get him as much at first base this season, but this team matters so much about their defensive output as much as their offensive output. At this point, you look at these levers that Pat Murphy always likes to talk about. That lever for the defense is way up to the max right now, but that lever for offense is kind of down to the bottom. So I wonder if they want to go ahead and start exchanging and see what happens without Christian Yelich in the lineup. He was throwing today. We saw him running today. I expect we'll get an update about Christian Yelich over the weekend as far as like a firm timeline of when he should be returning. But the fact that he is nearing real baseball activities, not just physical activities, is certainly a good sign. Real quick, a question here from Nate in Libertyville. Can the Brewers file a protest about the ninth inning interference call? I never hear about teams doing that anymore. That's because, actually, Nate, you cannot protest games anymore. That was a rule change back in 2021 in the year coming up after COVID. So the protest of a game is gone. You can appeal and ask for comment from the Major League Baseball Commissioner's Office. But no, you don't see the umpire letter the P anymore back to the press box. That is no longer allowed. And it's unfortunate because it's always a cool little quirky thing. The last game I can remember being under protest was like an A's-Giants game. I remember Bob Melvin put a game under protest a couple of years ago. But nonetheless, you can't do it anymore. So you can't make a protest of what happened. Another text asked me, but what's your opinion? Did the umpire get it right or not? I think he got it right. I know it pains me to say that. It really does. Because if I'm trying to flip it, I'm trying to see the long game here. If that was the other way around, okay, William Contreras behind the plate, Trevor McGill on the mound, he throws a 100-mile-an-hour fastball at the ankles, and the batter swings and misses, and William's diving in to try to pick it, right, and try to get down in there, and the batter takes a big swing and clips William on the back of the head, and the ball's rolling back to the backstop, and William doesn't know where it went because he got clipped, and if the runner was going to score on that, he'd be like, wait a minute, the batter hit him, right? So I'm trying to be, if this was the other way around, how would I feel? And I think the umpire's got it right. That's my opinion. And Pat Murphy can disagree with that, and he does. He made it clear in his post-game press conference. We'll get to that a little bit later as well. One last caller here, and then we'll get to Craig Kishon in just a moment. Trevor from Green Bay. Trevor, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I was at the game, and first of all, I just say I want to agree with you. Runners on scoring position, we haven't been able to get anything across the plate here. But I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on the kind of timing of the whole thing. When it goes through the backstop, I think, honestly, this is subjective with Sal going across the plate. I think it would have been there either way. But as it goes through the backstop, is it kind of a thing where if he hits it after Sal is getting towards the plate, is that kind of still a play or is he still out? You know what I mean? Is it dead either way? What does that mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So the ball was live at that point. That's the only reason Sal was taking off. And you'll think about it, a wild pitch per se. Whereas, like I said a moment ago, if Pinto had actually caught that ball and he still gets clipped in the helmet by Bowers, nothing happens because no one's trying to advance the first base. The ball isn't live. Bowers is retired. It would have gotten hairy if he like picked it and the ball was in the dirt. Think about it, swing and miss. First base was unoccupied. If he had picked it, ball technically in there, so Bowers can technically advance, but he still hit him in the helmet. That would still be what we just saw today, and that sort of thing. The reason why it got all chaotic with the timing there is because the ball was live, and it was a wild pitch. Appreciate the call, though, and I know we're in deep in the rule book now. Craig Kishon joining us on WTMJ, but man, can we just get a normal game, please? My goodness, these last couple of days have just been sort of wild, huh?
Yeah, they really have. I don't remember the last time that we had, especially back-to-back games and really difference-making moments in the game. And look, when it's getting late into games, like certainly tonight in the ninth was yesterday. I know it was the sixth inning, but it was wasn't it tied yesterday when all that came through?
That was tied with nobody out in the sixth inning. Yeah.
So I mean, look what happens in these moments, and that's the tough part, and I get it. The Brewers are very, very frustrated at this point because, look, they've fought hard in these games. They played well this year, and everyone's going to have their up and downs and whatnot. But when you think you can win some of these games, and things clearly aren't going your way by some real oddities. Let's face it, these last 2 days have been just really extreme oddities that you don't see very often. So, and I was listening here in the last moment when you were kind of going through, you know, the scenarios, and it's hard not to, you know, kind of replay things in your head and try to understand the rules of the game. And then on top of the rules, the judgments that the umpires are allowed in their ability to enforce those rules too, that sometimes, you know, umps can get together like we saw earlier tonight and they can, you know, take a foul ball and make it a fair ball double and put a runner at second when the ball wasn't even in play, it seemed like. So a lot of different things can happen. But when I replay this in my head, you know, I'm feeling, you know, or seeing the catcher as he's trying to go for a ball that was in the dirt and inside down near Bauer's feet, his body is moving. I mean, he's not in his normal position. And to me, it's no wonder the backswing caught him in the top of the head. I mean, the catcher is usually not in that spot when the batter's swinging. Even if he's a foot over, he's still not in his exact normal spot going after the ball, unless I'm seeing things different. But I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just saying that's part of also bad luck. And when rules come in that, like tonight, you can do nothing about.
I agree. And a couple of tweets that have rolled in here as well. This one from John. He did not interfere with the catcher. In no way did he keep the catcher from catching the ball or retrieving it. And that's not the point of the rule. The point of the rule is the fact that the batter made contact with a defender while the ball was live on the backswing. And that's the rule that I read at the top of the show, that it is under umpire discretion. It is a judgment call. Judgment calls are not reviewable in New York. And to reiterate the last piece, because I know you didn't hear this part of the rule, Craig, if a batter strikes at a ball and misses and swings so hard he carries the bat all the way around and in the umpire's judgment unintentionally hits the catcher or the ball on the back of him on the backswing, it shall be called a strike only and not interference. The way that I interpret that, okay, let's apply that to this situation. It was a 1-2 count with first base unoccupied. It's just called a strike only, so it's a strikeout for Jake Bowers. The ball will be dead and no runner shall advance on the play. That's the last line. So in my opinion, that last line is what happened tonight. It was a judgment call, and they're calling it, all right, that's a strike only. We're not technically calling interference, but hey, it ended up being strike three. It's a dead ball. No one can advance. That's my interpretation of it.
Well, I mean, you could very well be right. I mean, it had to be something very much like that. And look, you have to give the umpires a lot of credit here. They know the rules. That's what we discussed on our post-game show. It's not like these guys are making things up or interpreting, you know, the wrong ideas or whatever. They're doing what they do, and because they get paid to know what's going on. And I would not want to be an umpire at this level and have all the different scenarios and multi-paragraphs of, you know, one rule and the 0.60/A. I mean, this stuff goes on and on and on. And then you throw judgment into there to top it off. It's a really, really difficult job to do. And, you know, they obviously have tried to do their best the last 2 days. And one got over, one was admitted yesterday that it was interpreted wrong, but it was too late. It was after the game, can't do anything about it. And then tonight, you know, dead ball, they're not going to change it. So, you know, it just didn't work out.
And in the time that you're answering that, Craig, this is how I'm going to end the first segment here, and then we'll finally take a break here. We finally have the pool report from Chris Guccione, the crew chief tonight. He was the first base umpire and explaining on Ryan Addington's behalf. So here's the quote. Can you explain the rule that was applied in the situation and how you viewed the play? In this situation, it was a swinging strike three. The ball got away from the catcher, but on the batter's backswing, he hit the catcher in the helmet. We already know that. At this point, once the play is over, the ball is then dead, because in that case, the catcher still has an opportunity to make a play on the ball if the guy was stealing or if he had been there or gotten the guy out at the plate. So we leave the ball in play until everything is done. And then at that point, you have to enforce the backswing interference. So in this case, it was a third strike to Bowers, and all runners go back to the original base at the time of the pitch. That's the rule in the official baseball rules. It's 6.03A, comment 3 and 4, which is exactly what I just read to you here on the radio. So Chris Guccione agrees with what I say, and I'll tell you what. Know who told me to do this? I know you've heard this, Craig. Know who told me really important to know the rules and know the rule book as best as you can? It's our good friend Bill Schroeder. That's the guy who knows the rules front and back, and I am envious of how well he knows the rules. And tonight's a night that it really came through.
24 years ago when I came on board, he said, especially in his position, if you're sitting in the analyst chair, you know, Vinny's on top of it too. I mean, he went through, I'm pretty sure it was the same rule that you just read. And he on air said he believes the umpires got it right. So I think we're 3 for 3 now, at least my last count.
I think so too. But hey, now we actually got to talk about the game. Let's put all that ninth inning talk away for now. We're going to take a break, and on the other side of this break, we got to talk about Bryce Wilson, how great he was. We got to talk about how poor the offense has looked as of late as the Brewers fall 1-0, game one of a 3-game set against the Tampa Bay Rays, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you all season long by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Brewers fall 1-0 tonight to the Rays. I'm Dominic Catronio with Craig Kishon. Now that we've got all the rules stuff out of the way, let's talk about Bryce Wilson. First inning was not pretty. After a visit from Chris Hook and they traded a double play for a run, he was fantastic. Bryce, a.k.a. Billy Wilson, did his job tonight. He gave you 6 innings. He only allowed 1 run. More often than not, that's going to get you a win in Major League Baseball today. It was a bad luck loss for Bryce.
Yeah, it was really unusual to see that way that first inning opened up. The hit batter, 2 consecutive walks, just had a real hard time throwing any kind of a strike. At all, and then getting the double play. Of course, you're going to trade a run for that double play, gets the strikeout to end it, and then, man, he cruised after that. Got some great defense from Contreras early in that third inning as well. And, you know, I mean, this guy, each of his 3 starts has stretched out his pitch count. He's stretched out his innings, and he's stretched out his results. So, I really don't know how to explain the first 3 batters other than, you know, it obviously took him a while from whatever he was doing in the bullpen to warm up. Something changed a little bit on him when he got out to the mound. But guy's been around a long time, and to be able to recover kind of as quickly as he did and only give up that run over 6 innings is pretty phenomenal stuff and gives you a tremendous amount of hope. Is banged up as this starting rotation still is right now. I think, you know, there are some pitchers when they're going out there, you just don't know what's going to happen during their outing all the way here, that they're going to be able to continue to contribute and where they're going to go until they get some healthy arms back. So a savior type performance tonight. It's just too bad in the entirety of the evening, it turns out to be the loss.
And he held them to 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position. One of those 0-for-3, of course, was the double play. And I saw a tweet earlier asking me, why don't you play the infield in the first inning? Well, when you have the infield in, that still exposes holes on maybe balls that you could have turned a double play on. And with it being the first inning, you figure, okay, we'll get a run today. We can trade 2-for-1, which was the right call. They got out of the inning on the next batter as well. I would have done that 100 times out of 100, exactly how the Brewers play it. They got the ground ball they wanted, 5-4-3, and then Bryce was great from there. Didn't allow an extra base hit today. William Contreras threw out 2 runners. Brian Hudson got a pickoff caught stealing today. Nobody else touched second base after the first inning, or just for 1 batter, I should say, the Rays touched second base for the rest of the game. That's getting back on track with the pitching staff as a whole, especially from a guy like Brian Hudson and Trevor McGill.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it, you know, with Hudson and McGill getting out there, because It was tough on the Brew Crew staff Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with the Yankees, especially as things turned out. 15 runs in each on Saturday and Sunday. And so everyone's kind of responsible for that. And in this, you take it pitcher by pitcher and piece by piece, and you get yourself back on track. I don't want to see this team lose another 1-0 game, but I think they've won at least a 1-0 game, if not two, already here on the season. They've won some really low scoring games. They went through that stretch. So this is why they play 162. You know, payback's hell. And tonight it just turned out to be that way, unfortunately.
Let's talk about Brian Hudson, though, a little more specifically here. Man, what a find. Again, I can't stop being impressed with Brian. I'm efforting to have him be a guest on the pod coming up on Thursday this week. But, man, three more strikeouts. He picked off a runner. Yeah, he had one walk, but he goes in against, you know, Randy Rosarena. They had the righty up and McGill ready to go. Pat Murphy trusts him to get the eighth inning. He's already thrown an inning and two-thirds. What's another batter? And he gets him the strikeout looking on three pitches. This dude's still technically a rookie, and he's pitching like he's been in the show for 5 years. I'm so impressed with him. And it's a refined three-pitch mix that he can throw all three pitches for strikes. It's a little bit of smoke and mirrors, but, man, he's got some serious command, and what a perfect find for the Brewers.
Yeah, you know, just another one to add to the list over the recent years, and then you follow that up with we're seeing what obviously McGill's done over the last couple of years as well. But yeah, Hudson is something to watch, and I think the other thing that I like in addition to what you had to say about him, Dom, is just the fact that I think tonight we saw another example of Pat Murphy just trusting his guys out there and not just saying, well, we're in this spot now. You walked a batter, you know, in that eighth inning, and you got one strikeout. Are you going to get the final out here too, or do we have to go to the bullpen and make a move? I just like the fact that he trusts these guys. We've seen that a few times here this season. I think a guy as young as Hudson and just the lack of overall major league experience, these guys need those growing moments. And Pat's, you know, done a really nice job of allowing that to happen. And he's the only guy that can do it. And then these guys got to go out and show them why the manager trusts them. And, you know, to me, we're seeing more and more of that. And if a guy like Hudson, like you said, technically a rookie, can come in and first year with the Brewers, you know, new system, be able to adapt the way that he has is been great to see.
Fantastic. Now, we do have to have a little bit of cold water dumped on this conversation because the Brewers didn't score a run, and we got to talk about that. That's coming up next. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Brewers fall 1-0 to the Rays here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Set it at the top of the program. Say it again. The Brewers lose 1-0. It's not because of the umpires. It's because of the offense. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. So I put the ball in your court here, Craig, that give me an assessment of this offense that doesn't have to do with missing Christian Yelich. What are you seeing from the guys that are in the lineup that just haven't been able to get it done since Friday night, even before Friday, in like going back to the Pittsburgh trip, and ever since like last Saturday in St. Louis, it has been a hard time to score some runs for this team.
Well, I think that we saw, you know, in the first two, maybe 3 weeks of the season, we just saw collectively, you know, a group of guys that were probably seeing some pretty good pitches and you know, doing what they're supposed to do. They get paid to do, and that's produce some runs. And then right now, in my opinion, I think we're starting to see, you know, opposing pitchers make, you know, necessary adjustments against these guys, kind of top to bottom as well. I mean, William Contreras, even at this point, he's getting base hits. You know, he had a lot of the extra base hit and the home runs, you know, a lot of that stuff came earlier for him. Willie Adames has kind of settled down a little bit too. I mean, I could go right up and down the lineup, but I think collectively, I think everyone's kind of in the same boat here. You know, Rhys Hoskins, I don't think at any point this season has really found a true, real groove of where he wants to be right now, but he's still, you know, coming back after being removed a full year, and he came into tonight's game at 228, and that went down a little bit. So, and then Blake Perkins, I mean, here's a guy that really, if you look at and say, who's the guy that's filling in for Yelich, and sorry to bring up his name and kind of go against your rule here, but, you know, Perk's going to be really good, you know, early, and then, you know, now he's showing why he's, you know, still learning the game of baseball a little bit here and how to hit. So I just think right now they're going through things. Jackson Churio is going through the same things. You know, we broke down his game with Vinny on our pregame today and talk about pitch selection and the adjustments that pitchers are making with him and now what he's got to do to counter that, and he's starting to work his way back. One game can't change some of these guys, but I think we're still seeing, you know, a lot of young guys that are still in this lineup and some veterans who want to pick up the pace here, but it's not happening at full-blown mode right now.
I agree with the veteran pace not quite picking up because, look, they're leaning on Reese. He was 0 for 2 with a walk and a hit by pitch today. He twice led off an inning, and obviously they would rather have Reese have men on base to do some damage. Bryce has cooled off as well. Terang, that is, being 0 for 3 today with a pair of strikeouts on fastballs. Frelick at the top of the order has been stop and go, stop and go. And I mean, William today, that liner in the ninth inning, that was 103 miles an hour off the bat. What more do you want him to do? And it was, right, you know, hit an atom ball. So it could have been a very different situation. He did exactly what you wanted. Not only did he get the ball, hit the ball well, but he hit the ball to right field so that even if that ball was a ground ball, Sal would have a chance to go to third base. So they're a little bit snake-bitten right now. And I also want to remind fans, too, that, you know, remember how bad it was last May? And that was with Yelich, and that was with so many guys. There is going to be a roller coaster this year, and maybe right now they're kind of on that downswing of the roller coaster where it's like, okay, we're going to have to weather this for a little bit before we start climbing and get back at the top of the hill. Because, look, I know you were there for May, and even into mid-June, I was telling the story to the Rays broadcasters today. This team got swept by the Oakland A's, then got swept in two games against Minnesota, and they were 500. And everyone thought the sky was falling. Obviously, they still won the division. That's kind of how the Rays are feeling right now after they got swept by the worst team in baseball in the White Sox. This is a roller coaster. It's April, but it's something you identify and say, okay, let's make sure this isn't a habit.
Right. And you know, here's the thing, too. They're in a three-game losing streak. We've seen that, at least two other times, maybe three times. I can't remember off the top of my head, but they've been in this situation before, and then I don't look at this being, you know, a dilemma when it's three games at all. And they've got Freddie going tomorrow. This team's still got, you know, plenty of mojo. They play well with Freddie out there. So a lot of things can change depending upon who you have out on the mound as well. And I think tomorrow, you know, I kind of said this on the TV side for the post game. You have your ace going tomorrow. And aces are stoppers, so let's get this thing stopped. He had his worst performance of the young season his last time out, and the team still won. They're 5-0 with him out there. So these are the things that, you know, when you're playing this game, following this game, those are the things you look forward to. I mean, this is still a really good team. To lose 1-0 is nothing to be ashamed about, that's for sure. And collectively, there are plenty of silver linings here in this one, and I'm not going to blame that play in the ninth inning on anything at this point, nor would I have yesterday. Every time, like, to me, yesterday for Abner Uribe was a chance to learn something on the major league level when one play can change your mood and change your demeanor and how you're going to handle it. And these guys need to experience these things just like they need to experience, you know, what happened tonight, where some things are just out of your control, but it's just part of the game.
Yeah, before I let you go here, Craig, want to get to a caller. Doug in Baraboo, you've been waiting patiently. Doug, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Yeah, good evening, Dom and Craig. And, one thing is, I love the pitching tonight. Number two, and this wasn't my comment, but I think the strategy with Yelly not being in there other than his hot start, I think the strategy of our opponents' pitchers is different. And I think guys like our young guy Churio is not seeing the pitches that he normally may have seen when Yelly was in there. That's just my opinion. But my comment was, being a fan yesterday at the game, and I saw, I'm getting back to that interference call. I called interference right away, and then they didn't do it, and then the umpires got together. My question is, we had no replays on the scoreboard. And is there a rule that they can't show replays if it is a judgment call by the umpires?
It's more about kind of professionalism, you know, in the sake of, hey, let's not put it on blast and make the umpires feel uncomfortable and that sort of thing. And I get why fans could say, well, just show it because we're going to see it anyway on our phones. I get that aspect of it. But look, I've been in Atlanta in a playoff game when they're throwing crap on the field. I don't think that's ever going to happen in Milwaukee, but that's part of the reason why they don't show it on Jumbotrons anymore. So that's a good question, though, Doug. Appreciate you reaching out. Craig, we'll do it again tomorrow. It could be a really big day for the city of Milwaukee if the Bucks can survive and the Brewers can get back on track, but I'm looking forward to reacting to it all with you here over the Brewers Extra Innings airwaves.
Our teams need a boost. Let's make it happen on Tuesday night.
This will be a very interesting 24 hours in Milwaukee. Thanks to Craig Kishon. Also want to thank Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Trust your family's comfort at home with Sider all year long. And right now you can save up to $1,500 off Central Air Systems if you book by June 15th. Again, go to Sider, SEIDER.com. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Take a breather. Come back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, with all of that, it's been a fun 48 hours here in the show. I mean, yesterday, thank goodness it was a shorter show because we had to get out of the way for the Bucks yesterday. But with all the Aaron Judge stuff and to have this follow that up, it's just like, are you serious? Can we catch a break here, please? But anyway, I want you to hear from Pat Murphy. I've spoken enough. And Pat Murphy makes a very compelling case of why he thinks they got it wrong. So I'll toss it over to the manager, his first career ejection as the Brewers manager, his sixth overall in his coaching career. Here is Pat Murphy tonight.
Umpire said they have to call it. It's backswing interference. I'm not a rules expert, but the rule says that if on a swing on a third strike, the backswing interferes with the catcher catching the ball, then you can call back swing interference. That backswing happened after the ball was already past him. So in my opinion, that's a bad call. They made a mistake and they changed the game. And, I'd like to know. I'm not going to act like I know everything, but that's what it says in the rule book. I can read it to you. And if it says on a third strike, if the backswing impedes the catcher from fielding the ball, I'm sure they call it also when he's trying to throw to second base and it impedes him from throwing to second base. But them telling me they have to call it no matter what, the ball was already at the backstop. So why would you? The ball was clearly past the catcher. It tied the game in the ninth and put another runner on third base with one out. Okay? So, like, or I don't know, would that make it two outs? But we're going to an extra inning. Okay? So they clearly changed the game, and they were adamant that's how it's called. But the rulebook doesn't say that, unless I'm really reading out of a different rulebook. Okay, so the rulebook clearly says that, and I believe they got it wrong, but there was no question in their mind that they got it right. That's what hurts me, is that they didn't,
They didn't come together and
no,
talk it
no.
out or anything.
It's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
Nothing else to talk about.
Yeah. What do you think of Bryce Wilson's the way Commanders used in the first inning to give you guys six? Something was that?
Yeah, I mean, the first inning he wasn't very good, and he showed tremendous resiliency and came back and gave us six innings. And real credit to him, man. Real credit. He was great. Hudson was great. McGill was incredible. And, we deserve to at least be still playing right now.
Offensively, just not much pressure on Pepio. What did you see from...
He's really good. He's really good. So he's his fastball has lift. You know, I don't know the numbers, but the fastball has tremendous lift. He could attack the zone. His cutter, whatever, effective enough off of that, and his changeup was outstanding. So all the credit to Pepio. He was brilliant tonight. We didn't have a great approach, but a lot of times a great approach is due to a pitcher being great. You know what I mean? Or a non-great approach pitcher, and he was really good. William Contreras tonight, you know, line drive he hit that got caught in the ninth inning. The other line drive hit he had, the way he caught a game at the gym, he got Wilson back on track, the way he navigated, the way he threw runners out. I mean, again, established himself as an elite-level player. Just, you know, I'm really disappointed, you know, disappointed.
Versus 2 days in a row now where I know you don't want to blame the umpires for losses, but where two calls kind of loom large, non-calls, however you want to say it, just what's the level of frustration when you see those kinds of things affect you guys the way they have the last two nights, last two games?
I mean, of course you're frustrated. You know, really you're frustrated. There's a lot to be frustrated about, but you can't let yourself do it for too long. It happened, you know. We put ourselves in that position, but when that does happen, there's a lot of one-run games. When that does happen, you want them to get it right. And I believe 100% they got it wrong, according to what I just read in the room. So.
Wilson got up over 90 pitches for the first time since 2022, and he was able to maintain velocity in the stump for the entirety of that outing. Just how encouraging was it to see him continue to get stretched out and to have that stuff and keep it going now?
Yeah, I'm really pleased with him. You know, really pleased with him. Again, he was in real trouble. Bases loaded, no outs, and their four-hole hitter up. He was in real trouble. And he wiggled himself out of it, and then he got on it after that. You know, I don't know how many base runners he allowed after that, but not too many.
It was great, and William Contreras certainly helped him out behind the plate with a couple of caught stealings, some good tags from Bryson, from Willie, the caught stealing pickoff from Brian Hudson. To keep it at one was really impressive from the Brewers staff, and don't lose sight of what they were able to do today. Take another breather, come back with more, just some other thoughts around the league and what we've seen these last couple of days, and kind of compare it to last year. I think you'll see some interesting notes here. Stay with us, 620 WTMJ. All right, with all the reaction out of the way and trying to get cooler heads to prevail, I'm Dominic Catronio. Quick reminder, programming note, tomorrow we're over on WKTI ESPN Milwaukee, with the Bucks being here on WTMJ. You can find the game over there on ESPN Milwaukee and Brewers Extra Innings 94.5. So that's where we are tomorrow. Don't worry, the podcast will be in the same spot as usual. And then no show on Wednesday. We'll have Brewers Weekly on Thursday, unless the Bucks force a Game 6. And then we are back on Friday, or rather we don't have a show on Friday because the Brewers have a day game down at Wrigley. So then after tomorrow's show, we will not have another Brewers postgame until Saturday down at Wrigley. But I just want to give you a quick note here that I was looking through some of the numbers of last year versus this year. Okay, so we're 28 games in. Brewers are now 17-11. Last season through 28 games, they were 18-10. So one game better. Which offense do you think was better, last year's or this year's? This year's, of course. 241 average last year. 255 this year, so pretty good jump, 14 points. On base percentage, jump by 15 points. Slugging percentage, jump by 24 points. OPS has jumped by 34 points. They've hit 35 home runs to this point in the season. They had 33 at this point last season. This year they have 45 doubles. They had 38 last year. They also have virtually the same amount of strikeouts and same amount of walks. And yet, the numbers are exponentially better. Also, here's a fun one. They had 18 stolen bases through 28 games last year. They have 35 this year. So they have made small improvements. The slugging has certainly helped. They've got 25 more hits this year as opposed to last year. This offense without Christian Yelich is not how it was designed. So that's why I think we see it really slowing down right now. But I am excited to see maybe at some point this year a Tyler Black. Maybe we will see, you know, some more Gary Sanchez as the DH at some point. I mean, a lefty's going tomorrow, so I imagine he'll be in the lineup tomorrow. Maybe we'll see Garrett Mitchell finally get back and healthy again and really be the spark plug that he was at the end of 2022. That's a dynamic player the Brewers are really missing right now, aside from Christian Yelich, of course. So they're only one game worse than they were a year ago, and May was their worst month of the year last year. It was the only month they were under 500. It's a long season. They still won over 90 games with a losing record in May. It is frustrating to lose three in a row in the fashion that you have lost it, but you've got your ace tomorrow, like Craig was talking about. He's the guy that's you're gonna hand the ball and say, get us back on track. And quite frankly, there's no reason not to trust Freddie Peralta to do so. And Freddie gets the ball tomorrow evening. Same time, same place, 6:40 here at American Family Field. We do have a couple of highlights to play. We're many in a 1-0 game. But we'll recap that chaos in the ninth inning coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get up!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Well, when you get shut out, you're not going to hear much of that from Bob Uecker, as the Brewers lost this game 1-0. But it's not how you thought they would get there. In fact, it was bases loaded, nobody out in the top of the first inning for the Rays against starter Bryce Wilson. It could have been a whole lot worse, but the Brewers traded 2-for-1.
7 home runs and 17 driven in. Bouncer hit to third, could be 2 to second one, and the relay in. Plenty of time to double him up. Well, when you throw strikes, that's what happens.
Good things certainly happen. Bob Uecker on the call. A run did score on the play. But from there, Bryce Wilson was nails. He only allowed 3 more hits, or rather 4 more hits the rest of the day. All singles. Only one batter stood on second base the whole rest of the game, and he ended his outing in style.
The pitch. Struck him out with a beautiful changeup. Got him swinging.
6 total Ks for Wilson. He passed 90 pitches for the first time in 2 years. 6 strong innings. A quality start for Bryce Billy Wilson. But the Brewers offense has got nothing going on in the meantime against Ryan Pepiot. They had a leadoff double in the 6th. Couldn't do anything with it. Pepiot was done after 6 innings. Then in the 7th inning, a 2-out walk was left stranded after Rhys Hoskins was aboard. And then nothing doing from there. In the top of the 8th inning, Brian Hudson is on for his 2nd inning of relief. A man on first, 2 outs, and still a 1-0 game.
0-2 pitch coming home. And he got him looking on the outside corner. Brian Hudson, with back-to-back strikeouts, gets himself through the 8th inning. We head to the bottom of the 8th.
Lane Grindle's call. Man, Brian Hudson has been nothing short of spectacular. 2 shutout innings today with 3 strikeouts. Then in the 9th, William Contreras already had 1 caught stealing. How about another?
Runner goes, and the throw by... Did he get him? He did, yes. What a throw by Contreras. Looking over at the Tampa Bay dugout and saying, take that.
Love it from Bob Uecker. 2 caught stealings tonight for William. Only the 2nd time in his career that he has done that. The Brewers also had a pickoff in this one. Then the chaos happened in the bottom of the 9th. Not much to highlight there because Sal led off with a double. Then William lined out to right field. He was hit too hard to allow Sal to try to tag up. Then a walk to Willie Adames. That was a great at-bat lost in all of this. Going from 0-2 to 3-2 to draw a walk. 1st and 2nd, 1 out. During the Bowers at-bat, they pull off a double steal. So runners on 2nd and 3rd, 1 out. Then the controversy with the interference on the swing and miss by Bowers. It was a strikeout anyway. They called a dead ball because they determined it to be strike 3. Batters cannot advance when the follow-through hits the catcher. Dead ball. Everyone go back to your stations. But there was still an opportunity. 2 outs, 2nd and 3rd. Rhys Hoskins up, and he gets hit by a pitch. But in the end, it was up to Blake Perkins, and he would strike out on 3 pitches to end the game. The first shutout loss of the year for the Brewers. They are now 17-11 on the young season. They'll be back with more tomorrow. Freddie Peralta gets the ball. We'll preview it coming up next and wrap up the show on 620 WTMJ. All right, wrapping up the program now. A reminder once again, tomorrow, WKTI 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. That is where you can find the game and Brewers extra innings, as the Bucks are going to knock us off of our flagship home here just for the night. And let's see if they force a game six, which would be on Thursday. The other thing to keep in mind, 6:05 airtime, 6:40 first pitch. And I will still be with you after the game on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee for Brewers extra innings. No show after the game on Wednesday. And if the Brewers do, or excuse me, if the Bucks do force a game six, that would be on Thursday night, and thus that means we do not have a live Brewers Weekly, but I do plan on having a podcast available on Thursday night. Furthermore, Friday does not have a show either from our first game at Wrigley because it is a day game, but I will be back on Saturday and on Sunday with post-game shows live from Wrigley Field. So if you're headed down, say hello. Hopefully I'll see you inside the Ivy at Wrigley Field. So tomorrow, it'll be Freddy Peralta, like we said, getting the ball for the Brewers, and Tyler Alexander starting for the Rays. Alexander this year 1-0, 4.74 ERA. He's been a bit of a hybrid this year. Five games, only two starts. He is a left-hander. See how long he is going to go in this one. His game log this season, Alexander, the longest he's gone is six innings. He's gone as short as four, but he's been like a tandem man. He's been a bit of both. He's followed an opener, but they're just going to let him start tomorrow and be the man, given the Brewers have had their trouble with lefties this season. Trying to avoid dropping back-to-back series for the first time this year and force a rubber match on Wednesday. And no better guy to hand the ball to than Freddy Peralta. Again, 6:05 airtime, 6:40 first pitch. Hey, seriously, thank you to everybody who called in tonight and all the texts and all the tweets and everything. These last two games have sucked. And you know what? I still believe in ball not lying, and maybe we're due for some really fun games coming up soon. And the baseball gods have really not been consulting Pat Murphy and the Brewers and company the last few weeks with all the injuries and all the bad luck umpiring calls. So the baseball gods, they're generally pretty trustworthy to make good on a debt. And I trust the baseball gods to make this even, get things going in the right direction. We're only in April, y'all. I mean, it's still going to be April when you wake up tomorrow. There is so much season left. Let's not lose our minds over a couple of weird calls, and maybe at the end of the season we'll be chuckling like, remember those plays? Remember those bad happened back-to-back games, right? That's crazy. Flush it, move on, be ready to go tomorrow, and this pitching staff is the real deal, man. What a night. Yes, only allowed one run. Didn't allow an RBI, technically, because you don't get an RBI on a double play. Brewers trying to get back at it tomorrow with Freddy Peralta. My thanks to Craig Kishon for joining us as well, and to Matt Yazel, our producer, back in our studios. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers fall 1-0. Back again tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.